As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But
I'm a nap fan here, folks.
But soon a fierce storm came down the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown!" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly, the storm stopped, and all was calm. Then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him." There you go. There's the boat.
Kids, to your Sunday school rooms, wherever you're going. So what'd you think? Did you love the storms?
Yeah.
Did you hate them?
Yes.
Did they make you crazy?
No.
Did you get cabin fever?
No.
Yes. No. Mixed reactions. Everybody has a different reaction. I bet Lori didn't love it. Did you, Lori? That first one where you were like, how many hours?
5.5.
5.5. You thought you were going to stay in your car all night? Yeah, and Shelly, we ended up taking Shelly in for the night because she got partway home and she was done. She was so tired of driving, she was gonna get a hotel room and then she remembered we were there. So we had a guest, which was kinda cool. But, you know, we had people without power. Derosos were without power, and Amy and John, and probably several other people. And then there was the whole trying to get anywhere from anywhere thing. I know a lot of the drivers that drive with me are kind of wishing they had a little more going towards their paychecks. This is crazy stuff, right? So, who had control over the storm?
God.
Right. None of us. We got no control at all when it comes to storms. About all you can do is get ready if you know it's coming. We put firewood up on the porch. We took our cars out from under where branches might fall and everything we could think of to get ready for the storm. But that's about all you can do, that and pray. I did a lot of praying for people who I knew were stuck out there. And when Mel finally got to drive to work, that's about it, because we really don't have control. Storms are always a bit of an inconvenience. Right? And sometimes they can be deadly. The disciples were really worried because they might die in this storm. There's a good possibility in that teeny little boat that things were going bad fast, and they were worried, and they should be. And take a look at this boat. This is a little picture of the boat they had. It's made from a drawing of the boat that they found in the mud in Galilee in 1986 that dated back to the time of Jesus. It was 36 feet long, which is just a little bit bigger than your average UPS delivery van, and shorter than our school bus by quite a bit. Not very big. And when you walk up to a model of it, it's not very impressive. And it only had one sail, which, you know, high tech for then, but it wasn't very good for winds. So it really wasn't meant to be using in a high wind, and they would want to get off the lake before a high wind started. Give me the next one. See, that's how many people they had in their little model when they took it out. It's not huge. And it doesn't look like it would take waves very well. And you would think that on a lake, that wouldn't be too bad. But Lake Galilee gets some crazy winds. Go ahead and go to the next slide. You see this little divide here? Up behind that is the Golan Heights. And the Golan Heights are quite a bit higher than Galilee. And for some reason, every now and then, all the cold air slips through this gorge and right into the Galilean pool of air, which is a lot warmer. And the winds get really turbulent and the waves get really big. Go to the next one. I mean, it looks like ocean waves, doesn't it? When we were out on this little cruise boat, which was probably three times as big as the one that Jesus was out on, they were afraid to take us out in the morning. They almost canceled our trip. And then here's these guys in a smaller lake. So let me tell you about being out in a little boat on a lake. Because I know a little bit about that, because I do it every year. Every year when there's nobody around and the lake that I go water skiing at is a little too choppy to ski, I like to go out in this little sailboat. And I don't know how many of you have seen it, but it's about 8 feet long. It's just a little bitty plastic dinghy. But it has a sail kit, and it has a rudder and a daggerboard, and it sails pretty good. And it has a better sail than that thing had. But it's meant to be done in a little more wind. And I take it out, and I took it out this particular day after you guys had all gone home. And the wind was just perfect, and I took it out towards the point across the way, and I was having a little trouble getting up. It usually takes several turns, which are called tacks, to get up the lake past this point so that I can then get into the bigger water. Well, as I was headed towards the point and I got maybe two tacks up, the wind started pushing hard enough that it was pushing me back and I wasn't making headway. And I kept ending up getting too close to the shore on the other side. And this one particular time, I was really trying to get just a little more and get pull around. And I just wasn't making it. I was afraid I was going to tip it over. So, and I was getting close to the rocks. So I thought, well, I'll just turn this way with the wind. And I'll go around this little point and get on the back side of it where it's calm. And then I'll arrange my sail and everything, get back into the wind and get back across and get to camp because this is getting a little too much. The gunwale's only about yay high on this little boat. I think I have a picture of me in it. Yeah. It's, you know, so I have to sit down on the bottom and it only comes up. Yeah. And so the waves were getting bigger than my boat is deep. And I got over to the point and they got worse. Because then the wind was whipping around the point too. And so as I'm trying to whip around the point and the wind's whipping around the point and the waves are doing this, I caught my sail wrong and I went over. And so I took a deep breath knowing that I was going over and I ended up under the sail and in the water. And I kind of felt my way around and found the edge of the sail and popped up and I had a life jacket on. So I thought, hey, I'm fine. This water is good enough, I can float around for hours and it's no big deal. And Mel and my friend Patty were back at camp waiting to rescue me if anything happened. So if I didn't show up sooner or later by dinner time, they would come and get me. So I thought, well, okay, I've got two options. I can float around out here or I can pull the boat into the cove, swim it in, pull it up on this really steep embankment, try to dump all the water out of it, rearrange everything, and take off again, which would probably take me half an hour, 45 minutes, and would put me out of view where they would see that I was not there, not know where I was. So what the heck? I've got this life jacket on. I'll just bounce around for a while. I'll wait for them. And I realized there was mud all over the inside of my boat on the bottom, so I started washing the mud off the inside of the boat. Which, by the way, when they finally realized I was down, they were looking for me, and I was inside the hull washing the boat. They were freaking out just a little bit. Yeah, because they didn't see me. But anyway, I got rescued, and all was fine. But it really is... a dangerous thing when you're out in a colder lake, a bigger lake, with waves the size of the ones you saw, people can really easily drown, and especially without a life jacket. Right? Small waves meet big boat. The natural reaction is fear. And I'm quite sure these guys had heard lots of stories about people who had died on this lake when a storm came up. They probably even knew some people, since some of them were fishermen, and they had probably gotten caught in these storms before and barely made it home. So there was definitely a reason to be worried. They also might have waited for a little while to wake up Jesus. After all, this is the Master. We're the disciples. So the storm may have gotten a little more out of control while they were waiting. I mean, Jesus had been walking around healing people and casting out demons and doing all these things, and we're going to wake him up now. So the storm probably got worse. They were probably right on the edge of total panic when they waked him up. But, you know, he did exhibit some knowledge about boats. You remember in the last time I preached about the water and the boats, Jesus was like a mega fisherman. He showed the fishermen how to catch fish. So maybe he knew something about this. Maybe we can wake him up and see. So they woke him up, and Jesus does the unexpected. He wakes up, he tells the water and the wind to be quiet, and they just do it. Shock value, big time. Go to the next slide. Things were crazy, and then they weren't. Just like that. The wind was probably so loud that they had to yell over it to hear each other. And with a word from Jesus, it just stopped. And the lake calmed down. It was probably glassy. Let that sink in. Nobody has control over the storm. Nobody. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but God. So then they're going, who is this man? Duh. We don't have control, and he does. What is this? Who is this? It was enough to totally blow their minds, and it certainly would be to blow mine. But this is where Jesus says, does something unexpected. Instead of saying, look what I did, he says, where's your faith? What does that mean? I'm sure there's probably some people who would say that maybe Jesus thought they should have calmed the storm, you know, if you had a little more faith. But I don't think that's what he was getting at. I think Jesus thought they shouldn't have even had to wake him up. I think Jesus probably thought that maybe they should just be secure in the fact that he was in the boat. That if they had enough faith, they would have understood that they were safe because he was just there in the boat with them. Awake or asleep, it didn't matter. So why should they be afraid? But they hadn't wrapped their minds around that yet. Jesus actually wanted his disciples to understand that that was enough. That the wind and the waves coming over the gunwales of the boat didn't have any power over that boat if he was in it. Jesus is our life jacket. He's our protection in the storm. Jesus is the Superman that saves the day. Jesus has the power we don't have. Jesus' very name means God saves, right? God saves us. That's who he is. That's what he does. Seems like they might have understood that. At least that's what he needed them to know. They didn't get it yet, but he's teaching them. His whole life mission is to save us. He saved us on the cross. He saves us every day. He saves us from the craziness of the storm. I think Jesus wanted his disciples to be spiritually ready for the storm. And that would involve trusting him. So what are the storms in our lives? The storms that we go through. We go through problems with our health. We go through financial difficulties, problems with our relationships. All kinds of things plague us and make us worry, make us scared, make us despair. But Jesus is with us, or he's not. We can choose to take him into that storm with us. It's what makes the difference. Who can you trust when things go sideways? Just Jesus. So, here's the problem. I tend to be a backseat driver. Ask Mel, it makes him crazy. I'm sorry. It's gotten worse since I've become a bus driver. But we tend to want a backseat drive for God. God, when we aren't in control and things seem out of control, we want to tell what God should do. Tell God what he should do. Right? How many times do we go through a storm in our lives and think to ourselves, why isn't God doing anything about this? Why is he letting me suffer? Why doesn't he solve this problem? Why doesn't he heal my mom or my brother or my dad or my children or my friend? Or why doesn't he turn this around? Why can't I make ends meet? Why can't I get a job? Why doesn't he fix this for me? Why do I have to hurt all the time? When is it going to end? And those are good questions. But are we telling God what to do? In the scriptures leading up to this one, we have looked at Jesus talking about getting faith deep into our lives. You know, the scriptures about the soil, the hard soil and the thorny soil, and about plowing that ground and getting it ready for God. And then there's the ones about just getting close to God and so many things. Oh, the one about Jesus telling his disciples that they are his family, that his mother and brothers are one thing, but you guys are my family. Right? So we have that relationship with him if we choose it. And he does care about us. He really cares about us. He cares about those guys in the boat. So if he cares about them and he has that kind of power to save, then why are we worried? Even when things go different directions than we think they should go, and he lets the storms roll, why should we worry? Go to the next slide, please. During my time here, Jesus says, I protected them by the power of your name that you gave me. I guarded them so that not one of them was lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. It's interesting because another version of this said the one that decided not to follow. The thing is, Jesus had always wanted to keep us safe from the beginning. We can keep an inner calm when the storms come. We can have faith in Jesus to get us through it. go ahead to the next slide. We can look at the storms of life, we can look at the water, and we can have faith that we're going to be all right when we trust the Master. We can't control the storm, but he can. Even if we think he's asleep, even if we think he's not paying attention. Now, I'm not going to tell you bad things are not going to happen because he's a part of it, because they will. Someday, I'm even going to die. Everybody does. It's crazy. I don't know. Why does he let that happen? He fixes it, though. Jesus fixes even that. Jesus died so that we could live. It's crazy. It's backward, and it's hard to wrap our heads around how he controls that, how he can fix that, how he can make everything redeemable. Thankfully, our whole life isn't a storm. There are a lot of good times, a lot of calm times. And the thing about storms is we learn things during them. Have you noticed that? We actually tend to grow during a storm. We learn things about how strong we are or where we aren't strong. We learn some things about how maybe we need to change a few things. How maybe it's time to clean out some things in our minds and our hearts and turn some things around and make some changes. Go to the next slide. This is something Corrie Ten Boom said, and Corrie Ten Boom is a person who was in a concentration camp, a Nazi concentration camp, for protecting the Jews, and lost her sister. Her sister died, lots of friends died. She prayed gratefulness over fleas because the Bible commanded it. I mean, she was an amazing woman of God. The only thing she had to hang on to was Jesus. And she says this, "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." She took that away from the storm. She saw this as the gift that the storm gave. And the thing about it is, then you can take Jesus into those calm times as well. Because once you learn that Christ is all you need, you can carry that into the normal day-to-day mundane times too. The times when there aren't storms. And it also helps you weather the storms that are to come and be more ready. And to know you've got the life jacket on. And to know you've got something bigger than you are, so that the storms, even though they may rage the same around you, they don't seem as big. You get better at weathering them somehow. I don't know how that works, but God does, and it's good. Go to the next one. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are the plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." He has plans for a future and a hope for us, even though we don't realize it. When we're in the boat with Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. Or maybe I should say, when Jesus is in the boat with us, we don't have to be afraid. We choose to have Jesus in the boat. He chooses us to love us. He pursued us. But we have to choose to make sure that he's in the boat. Jesus loves us just the way we are and refuses to leave us that way. And sometimes the storms can change us into something better. We all face storms that are out of control. How do we handle the storms in our lives? Do we lean on Jesus, or do we despair and let the storm eat us alive? Do we make the storm worse by worrying about it? Do we make the storm worse by fearing it? Have you noticed that when you fear something, you end up heading towards it instead of away from it? You actually create sometimes the things that you fear to happen. It's crazy like that. But if you trust in Jesus, the storms get a little calmer and things get a little easier. Go ahead for the next slide. Who knows? Maybe we can be in the boat and be a little happier. If we remember that we have Jesus in the boat that has the power to calm the storm, the power to keep us safe. And I'll end with this scripture from John. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Shall we pray? Jesus, thanks for overcoming the world. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for walking with us. I couldn't do this without you, and none of us could. Please help us remember that you're in the boat and not panic. Remember to have faith. Remember to have you. Please keep us always in mind of you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and for all you do. Amen.